Hi there, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and the Lord has detoured me for a couple of days here, a few days anyway, to read some of the, to have some of the tracts that I've written, some of the pieces of literature that I've written. And now this evening we're going to be doing Dry Bones. That is one of my testimony tracts. There's another one that we that has been written called Signs of the Times, but this evening we'll dwell on Dry Bones. And then we have a few letters or responses here, and right now let's all go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to pour out his outward anointing on this service, this tape. Father God, we love you and we praise you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord, because you are God. You're the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus came out of the water, Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit came down upon you. And you became the actual prime witness of everyone that is now witnessing on the face of this earth. You were driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to show that you are more powerful than Satan, to be tested. And you passed that test with flying colors. Satan knew that he had met more than his match that day. Lord, it was the Holy Spirit that gave you the outward anointing to be in the ministry. And we need that outward anointing. We need the which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ye shall have power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, your word says. And power to do what? What that means is that ye shall have power to be in the ministry. Ye shall have my power upon you. My words will fill your mouth, and it will be my ministry instead of yours. It will be my work, the work of God, instead of yours. But you will be my temple and my vessel, my chosen vessel that I will live in and work through, saith the Lord. And this is what the Lord wants everyone to do, is to be saved and then afterwards to be filled with the outward anointing as well. When we're saved, we have the inward anointing, Father, and when we receive the outward anointing, then we are able to, we have the power to minister your word, because it's you upon us that's doing it. And I ask, Lord, that you take over me, your vessel, and let everything that is said, Lord, let it not be any of me, but the testimony that you gave me, let it come out with the Spirit. Let it be anointed with your Holy Spirit. Open up every spirit, every soul, every mind to receive this powerful testimony. Open up the spiritual mind to make them believe in Jesus' name, that their souls might be saved and that the church might be edified and strengthened and lifted up. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Annandale, Virginia.
Okay, go ahead and read, please.
Dear sir, I heard your wonderful program early this morning on WWCR. Thanks for your teaching. Bless you for being on the air. Sincerely, Mark from Annandale, Virginia.
Well, that's right. We have radio broadcasts all over the world, just on one or three of the stations in India or Africa. We are ministering to over 1.5 billion people just in those two countries, I have been told. And we're everywhere in the world now on the air. And if you'd like to know the times and the stations that we're on in your area, call us, or email us, or write to us. Now, you can give them the email number and our phone number, and also the address that you can write to us, all right?
Yes. The email, our website is alamoministries.com.
It's alamoministries.com. It's TonyAlamoMinistries.com. And then?
Our 24-hour prayer and information line is area code 479-782-7370.
And to just write us a letter?
To Tony Alamo Christian Ministries Worldwide at P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
If you need a Bible, you'll get one absolutely free. If you need literature, you'd like to read more literature, you can look it up on the internet, or you can write and we'll send it to you. We have the Messiah book. Many people are saved through this literature. And so just call us or write us, whatever. All right, so that was good that people are hearing the radio broadcast. We'll give you the time and the place where you can listen to it 5 days a week. Okay, go ahead.
This is from Memphis, Tennessee. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in Jesus, brother. I listen to you on WMQM 1600 in Memphis every night, and I do believe you are one of the end time prophets for the church, the body of Christ. My spirit rejoices to hear Sister Sharon reading the scriptures and the translation and commentary, and to hear your wisdom as you interject, Brother Tony. You are feeding me, and I praise God for your ministry and pray for you all often. I will not ask you to send me anything because I know there is an expense to send literature.
Oh, we want to send him everything, and I want to have something for his... the commissary every 2 weeks. Send him $10 every 2 weeks. We send to the women's prison, to men's prisons all over, and they don't have any money. And when they've been put in prison falsely, or if they haven't either, if they get saved, okay, then what else?
But I will say that here in this prison, we do not have any of your newsletters or books. Inmates here are not allowed to listen to tapes either. Just so you will know, it seems that when WMQM begins broadcasting your tapes, another station seems to bleed over into your broadcast. It sounds like it is Southern Black Gospel music all the time, and it never happens on that channel until your broadcast begins.
Right. That's what the government, this Antichrist government, does, is scrambles programs that really make sense to the general public. And people get to thinking that the station is weak and that they're on the wrong channel, so they switch over to something else. And I've been told many times that mine is the only true gospel message that's coming through. And the government has fought us tooth and nail now, the Antichrist government from Rome. And Rome controls all the governments and the media, and they have fought us for 41 years, ever since I've been saved. When I was in the motion picture recording industry and promotional industry, I did promotions for just about many different products and all kinds of singers and actors. And everybody just loved me 100%. The government was 100% for me. But the minute I got saved and started preaching the gospel, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I thought, here I was a weasel all of my life. And when I get saved and start caring about lost souls and people on drugs and really caring about them by preaching the gospel to them, and then after they get saved, take them off the streets and give them a place to live, and feed, clothe, and house them, and teach them the Bible. I mean, I've never been fought so hard, and people called me the worst thing you'd think. If you'd believe the news media and the government, you'd think I was worse than Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler killed millions of Jews my own people, the Jewish people, and they have murdered Christians by the millions down through the years. They're the ones that burnt the people at stakes, Christians, true Christians. They call themselves Christians. Can you believe that? And they also have put people in prison, and they've killed them in all different manner of ways. They use character assassination to make people not, in hopes that people will not believe our messages. And that's why, you know, you have to just read the Bible to see if what I'm saying is the truth and go from there. But this man says the station is 100% clear all during the day and night until my program comes out. Now you just figure that out for yourself. Alright? Now, if Bozo's on, you can hear him just as clear as a bell. Or if the Catholic priest is on, you can hear him as clear as a bell. But get Tony Alamo on. Watch out. We don't want him to be heard. And so they start getting this black gospel music cooking, you know, right behind everything I'm saying. But, you know, if you want to hear clear messages, and you're not in prison, this man is at the same prison that I was put in for the gospel's sake. They used every kind of false witness against me to make it look as though I was trying to cheat the government out of money. And here we were paying taxes, more taxes than anybody, and we were saving the government millions and millions of dollars by getting people off of narcotics, drugs, alcohol, murder, every kind of thing under the sun. And yet they fought us. But the Lord stated that this would happen. And it's a good thing that I read that in the Bible, because I braced myself for sorrow. I braced myself for that. It didn't happen to me without me knowing firsthand from the Bible that these things would happen. The Lord said that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen?
Amen.
And so I just, and it says, when this happens, rejoice greatly, because the prophets that were before you, they treated the same way. Amen?
Amen.
And so if they kill me, they put me in prison, or they do whatever, I know I've seen Jesus appear before me, right before my eyes, wide open while I was wide awake. It was in a very dark room. And when I saw him, I wanted to go out into eternity so bad. I said, Jesus, I got the biggest smile on my face. And I could tell that he knew all about me, and he knew I was doing things wrong, but I could tell he still really loved me. And he said, not now. And I said, what? It's such a disappointment, because I didn't even think of my wife, Sue. I didn't think of anybody in the church. All I thought about, Lord, I just want to be with you. So make my day, cotton picker out there, you devil possessed bunch of weasels. Make my day. You won't hurt my feelings if I go out to eternity, because I know I'm saved. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep me until that day. And you, there isn't anything that you've done to me before. You've taken all of our property before, and God has given it back to us tenfold. But this time it's not in the church name, because we realize that you people steal born-again Christians' properties, and you put them in prison, and you do everything you can to discourage them and exalt yourselves on television. But God is starting to pour out his wrath on this earth, and he's destroying a lot of Muslims. And the Bible reads that he's going to destroy Rome. And, you know, that's why I'm praying for all you Muslims, and I'm praying for you Roman Catholics, that you're going to get saved before that day, before that happens to you, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so, you know, so many people are worried about the nations of these different terrorists that are blowing up a bus or two or shooting a half a dozen people or something. But God said he's going to destroy one-third of the world population with one swat. And you want to know something? If you listen to the news at all, you'll see that this bird flu that's coming, the media is even saying that the bird flu could very well kill one-third of the Earth's population. And there's going to be more earthquakes, more floods, more fires, more famine, more destruction, more hurricanes. And as I speak, there's one brewing right now headed for Florida and very possibly the coast again over towards New Orleans. And it's amazing, you know, after God has done that to them, that wasn't Mother Nature, there's no such person. And it wasn't a natural disaster. These disasters, if you read the Bible, the Lord says that he's sending them. You'll say, well, no, it's just a fault. Who do you think put the faults there? Okay? It was the Lord that did everything. And he swears that he's going to destroy people for sinning. No sooner did they get the city dry at New Orleans, then they open up the strip joints, the bars, everything is back as usual. So God's got another one coming. And some of you people that act so smug, that are sitting in the Midwest where there's no ocean, or you're sitting on the top of some big mountain in Colorado or Montana someplace, God causes earthquakes and he can cause fire to keep rain down from heaven. He's got a whole bag full of different plagues. If you read the book of Revelation, you'll read about it. And as far as the media is saying, the birds is a-coming. The bird flu. They're killing chickens in Pakistan. They're killing them in different countries now because... And they're killing all kinds of birds. And the birds are dying from this flu. And if it mutates, if it catches into humans, there has already been, from what they say, is over 60 people that are dead from it. And if it spreads, it's going to take down millions upon millions of people. One-third of the Earth's population will be around 2 billion people. So what you have seen thus far is a drop in the bucket to what's coming. All right, so let's hear the rest of this letter from this man in FCI prison in Memphis. I was there. I won a lot of souls in that prison. I was there for the gospel's sake. Just like Jesus was in prison for the gospel, and Paul and all the disciples, all the different people, the prophets, the apostles were in prison for the gospel's sake. And millions of people have been in Catholic prisons after they were saved. Remember, the first Christians were Jews, and there's still a bunch of us around. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. I'm a Jew. Sharon's a Jew. We're Jewish Christians, Hebrew Christians, just like Jesus was a Hebrew, but he was a Christian. Amen. He was Christ, the Christian. And we must be in his body, or we're not going to enter heaven. Well, let's finish the letter.
Please pray the Lord heals my back. I'm in a lot of pain, and the medical staff here says they can't do anything because it is deterioration of the C5 and C6 area of the spine. The Lord formed me in my mother's womb, and I know he can and will heal me.
Absolutely.
Brother Tony, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1973 and pray in tongues to this day. Thank you, Jesus.
Right. The main thing about being baptized with the Holy Spirit is the anointing spirit to be able to preach and teach the gospel, not just to speak in tongues. speaking in tongues. He that speaketh in tongues edifies himself. But the Lord wants to minister in and through us to others. And we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to have the power to do that. Remember, after you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'll have the power to minister, not just to speak in tongues. I always thought that was such a foolish thing, is just to speak in other tongues. There must be more to for the being anointed with the Holy Spirit, and it is. It's the outward anointing to minister to the lost and to the church, as I am doing at this very moment, as the Lord is doing through me at this moment. Okay, then what?
The Lord has allowed me to be put in prison 3 times since then. First in 1976 for 3 years, then in 1983 for 7 years. When I got out in 1990, the Lord blessed me to go into the internet business, and I became an internet service provider and made a good living. My parole officer in Texas did not like me being in business for myself. He told me, quote, he would put me back in prison where I belonged, unquote. 2 of my subscriber customers put child pornography on my server without my knowledge. On June 10, 1998, my business and home were raided by armed U.S. Customs agents. They seized everything, then charged me almost 2 years later. The federal prosecutor told me if I did not plead guilty, that they would also charge my wife. I could not bear the thought of my wife going to prison, so I pled guilty, although I am not guilty.
Yes, I've told the people in the world about these Antichrist tactics, as this Antichrist Catholic, Roman Catholic government does, and they didn't believe it. But most of the general public knows that, and I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the Roman government wants everybody to lose confidence in the United States of America. That's why we've had such squirrely presidents and such corruption in the our presidents. And so I pray for those presidents as well. I pray for all of them, because I know that if they don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that they're going to be in hell in the lake of fire. And many of them that I've witnessed to have died already. Okay, then what?
They sentenced me to 17 and a half years, which began on June 20th, 2001.
Well, and if you wonder who I witnessed to, it's President Reagan, President Bush, President Clinton, Jimmy Carter, and his brother Billy Carter. Billy and I became pretty good friends. He used to come in our store in Nashville, Tennessee all the time and shop, and wanted to open one of our stores in Atlanta, Georgia. And there's just I've witnessed to every president since for the past 41 years. All right, then what? And the whole administrations. Then what?
It takes 14 years and 10 months to discharge 17 and a half years, so I still have 9 years and 8 months to go. My wife has remained faithful to me. We have no children, but it is still very hard on her, as she has had epilepsy since childhood and cannot drive or work a normal job. She barely gets by on Social Security disability of $450 a month that the government charges against my Social Security account, not hers, because she never had one. Quite simply, if she divorced me, her income would stop and she would lose our house and everything. She writes about every 2 months and says she loves me and will wait for me. With this back going out on me and my general health going downhill fast and the poor medical treatment here, I may not last for another 9 years. Brother Tony, I only ask that you and Sharon pray for Rosie and myself, that the Lord will strengthen us to endure to the end.
Well, if you'll give me Rosie's address, we will send her literature and Bible, and we'll also, if she has needs, clothing, food, or anything like that, we'll help her for sure. We do that. And all the people that are in prison, those of you that have loved ones in prison, if you're without Christmas gifts at Christmas time, what we do is we send Christmas gifts to poor people that are not able to buy Christmas gifts for their loved ones, for the children. And if you want them, what you do is just make sure that you mention if it's a girl, a man, a woman, a girl, or a boy, and put their clothing sizes on. And we're not always able to give you the kind of toy that you want, but it's for sure we have very nice toys that we send them. It doesn't cost anything. We just want to do it because I know what it's like to be in prison when I was innocent. And I saw so many people in there in prison that were grieving over their wives and their children that they didn't have anything to give them. That's when I started telling the people in the church to send them these gifts. And even times when it's not Christmas, if it's their birthdays or something like that. And we like to say, you know, tell them it's from the Lord, but it's also from their dad or their mom that's in prison. Okay, and then what else?
Thank you very much.
So write us, you know, and you'll see that this will happen.
Thank you very much. May the Lord bless you abundantly with His truth and peace always. We pray for your ministry here. If I should die before we meet on this earth, then I will see you in that glorious city. And the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. Much love in Christ, Randy from Memphis, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord, Randy. We're with you. And, okay, then you have something else.
Yes.
All right.
From Zambia, Africa. Mm-hmm. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, special greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope everything is well with you in the ministry there. Pastor, your literature and tapes have the power not only to inform, but to reform and transform lives of people here. Through the influence of your literature and your tapes, countless people have been given a new strength and purpose and a sure hope in life.
That's what. That's why the government, these messages are from the Lord. The Lord uses me as some kind of a, just a person to go ahead and write them down as He gives them to me. And that's, of course, why people are strengthened and find immortality through the literature and get the knowledge of the straight and narrow way that can cause you to enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, then what?
In addition, they have brought peace and assurance of eternal life and blessings. The content is biblical, valuable, true, deeply significant, and rich in wisdom and knowledge. Your tapes and literature give us both the encouragement and the tools to read the Bible with confidence and understanding. You point us to the Bible's supreme subject, Jesus Christ, and the salvation God offers through Him. Praise God for that. Lastly, send us tapes, literature, Bibles, and music tapes done by your team, please. Pour in us, and we shall pour in others. Yours in Christ, Lupamba from Mansa, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Give Him everything He wants. Okay, then what else?
Okay, a letter from Omaha, Nebraska. Pastor Alamo, greetings in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus the Christ. My gratitude and thanks for sending your gospel messages, which are filled with the spirit of truth and words of life. The prophet must remain faithful and true to the message. When Jesus stood in the synagogue to read from the book of Isaiah, something mighty stirred within His heart. In the words of the prophet came the realization of His purpose and mission, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives from their bondage to sin, to rescue the perishing from the shadow of death, to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. For His glory alone, Martin from Omaha, Nebraska.
Praise the Lord. Now this is my testimony. This is called Dry Bones. And I've given my testimony so many times in church. And it would just be wonderful, you know, if people that were really dealt with by the Lord would give their testimonies so that people could see how God really deals. So many people, though, that are ministering today just decided in their heart that it's a prestigious type job, makes lots of money because they're in it for the money. if you're really in the ministry, you're not in it for money at all. You're just, the money that comes in goes for literature and so on and so forth. But it would, so I don't really need to hear testimonies of people that are, have chosen to be a minister because they want to make money or they want to be respected in the community or anything like that. I mean, that was the last thing I ever wanted to do, is to be a minister, or especially a pastor. I'm the last person that I ever thought would ever be a teaching the Bible or preaching. But we'll just let you hear it as it was written. I wrote this particular piece of literature. The Lord moved on me to write it in prison for the gospel's sake. All right, go right ahead. Dry bones.
The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel was sent a vision from God. He saw a valley of dry bones, representing the spiritual deadness of Israel and the world.
See, the world is a bunch of dry bones right now. That means they're dead. And they need to have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can enter in to a bunch of dry bones, just as it did in the book of Ezekiel. And you'll make them rise up in the Spirit, be resurrected from the dead. And then you can, because God lives in you, he can do his work in and through you. Okay, go ahead.
The vision foretold the first coming of Christ, his preaching of the gospel, and the result, the first resurrection from death unto life eternal for all those who believe, quote, the word of the Lord, unquote. God said to Ezekiel, quote, son of man, can these bones live, unquote. Can those spiritually dead ones live? Ezekiel said, quote, Lord, thou who hast made them dost know, unquote. God spoke again to the prophet, saying, quote, prophesy concerning these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Unquote. Israel knew it was completely gone as a nation. To this day they are hopelessly divided. But God told Ezekiel that he would raise up another nation greater than the first Israel, which would not stop sinning.
Right, and that nation is called the New Jerusalem. That's those of us that are born again of the Spirit. We're the actual body of Christ. Then what?
The second Israel would be a people from every nation in the world, a remnant of elect Jews and a multitude of Gentiles grafted into the true vine. It would be a great holy nation of those raised from the dead life of sin unto life eternal. They would never be divided against God. This was the first resurrection through the resurrection power of Christ. In 1964, before my first resurrection through Christ, I, Bernie Hoffman, also known as Tony Alamo, was well known for sinning and ungodliness and was totally void of any knowledge of God. I had no idea that God existed. The words of God were to me fables and myths, and I couldn't understand how people could believe in God or His Son. I couldn't believe the ones who said they believed in God because they were hypocrites. They sinned as much or more than me. I know because I used to run around with them. We were all a bunch of dead, dry bones. I would become angry if anyone tried to convert me to Christianity because to me the Bible was a waste of time. The life I lived gave me no time for games or fairy tales. In the marketing industry, I was considered number one. I was responsible for the successful careers of many world-famous singers and actors, as well as the successful promotions of several well-known household products. My worst nightmare then was one that had me converted and distributing gospel leaflets about Jesus on street corners, living at some Skid Row mission, preaching the gospel, and organizing food lines to feed hungry people. In the mid-60s, the world wasn't looking so good to me. I didn't like drugs or dirty people with the morals of swine, and I hated what the hippie movement was doing to Hollywood, the Sunset Strip, and the world. As for myself, I was no saint. I didn't really care what people did as far as sinning, as long as they didn't flaunt it in front of families with children. To me, the world was finished, dead, dry, obnoxious, and bleak. Nothing really had any value anymore. I believe the other people of the world knew it as well as I did, and took drugs to try to escape the reality of it. The churches were hypocritical. Everyone seemed to know that as well. The whole world was dead in its sins and trespasses. The world was an enormous valley of dry bones, just like the ones Ezekiel saw. I met Jesus in a Beverly Hills office in a very supernatural way. No one can possibly imagine how terrified and yet how happy I was when God proved to me that He and His Son really did exist. I was thrilled to experience His awesome Holy Spirit and hear His powerful voice sweep through every part of my body, as though I were a filter that the words went through, both forward and backward. His presence was glorious and warming. His Spirit pressed heavily upon me like the mighty grip of the hand of God. And His words told me to, quote, stand up on your feet and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that He's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die, unquote. When His Spirit came into the office and pressed down upon me, I was given the awareness of His unspeakable, incredible intelligence. He was every atom and molecule. He was the air. He knew everything from the past and everything that would happen in the future. I was embarrassed because I knew He knew everything I had ever done. Then He showed me that heaven and hell definitely exist. I knew which one I would be going to if I didn't do what He said, and it wasn't heaven. Although it was terrifying to me, it was also wonderful to know that God was real and alive, and everything the prophets and apostles said He was. He hasn't changed at all from the days that He created the heavens, the earth, and all that is in them. I knew immediately that I would always fear, admire, respect, love, and serve Him. I knew I would be more than willing to live, be persecuted, and die for Him, and do it cheerfully with all joy. After God released me from that office, I started asking Him, quote, what do you want me to do? I'll do anything you say, unquote. I got no answer, so I figured He wanted me to go to church. I figured the biggest was the best, so I went there and I didn't find Him. Then I went to other churches, but He wasn't there either. Then I read books with pictures on the covers of guys that looked wise and godly, with long beards and religious clothing, but I knew the books were wrong because they said that God was not to be feared, that God doesn't threaten people, and that you could sin without going to hell. I wasn't worried about a God like that. I worried about finding the God that threatened me, the God that showed me heaven and hell, making me do something no one else could make me do, something I never wanted to do. I never thought the truth could be found in the Bible, because there were so many of them around. I felt that anything the general public went for couldn't be smart, since I believed people were all stupid. I finally started reading the Bible and found the plan of salvation in it and the instructions for eternal life, which told how to grow up in Christ and spiritually become a major soul winner for Him. When I first started reading the Bible, I felt that same power of God pressing down upon me that I felt in that Beverly Hills office. Then God showed me other visions of heaven and hell. I cried out to God, quote, Lord, don't send me to hell, exclamation mark, unquote. Then I saw heaven and felt the peace of heaven. Although I was spiritually blind, naked, and small, I told God I would be willing to remain blind, naked, and insignificant if I could just feel this heavenly peace forever. I saw hell once more and cried out again to God for mercy and pardon. Then the power of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit entered my mortal body. By my faith in Jesus and the blood He gave for me, and by my faith in the words of God which I heard and obeyed, I felt every sin I'd ever committed lift off of my soul. I felt clean and pure. Something very wonderful had happened to me, and it was done to and for me by Christ Jesus, quote, the Holy One of Israel, unquote. I was so happy to be free from sin and to possess this new power which kept me from sinning that I wanted to tell the whole world so that they could also know him and have eternal life. Even after more than 31 years in the ministry for Christ, I feel the spiritual marrow being poured down from heaven into these once very dry bones.
It's now 41 years, and so it's still, I feel that same spirit nourishing me, making me powerful spiritually in the Lord. Then what?
Every time I read the Bible, God's Word has put spiritual sinew around these once dry bones, covering them with the flesh and skin of spiritual armor. Each word of God has grafted Christ more into my heart. I can still feel each word of God breathing Holy Spirit breath into my soul, giving me the power to stand and quench all the fiery darts Satan has fired at me through the years. I know more fully each day that, quote, we are more than conquerors, unquote, in Christ Jesus, and we are complete in him. And I also know how very important it is to follow every word of Jesus, who said moments before his ascension into heaven in a cloud, quote, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, unquote. Preach to every dry bone, those who are spiritually dead, so they may, quote, hear the word of the Lord, unquote. Quote, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, unquote. If you're like me and would rather not be damned, but instead be saved, then say this prayer to God. My Lord and my God.
Okay, here's the prayer. Now say it and mean it with all your heart and soul, because, there you could cry out in other prayer, you know, as long as you say approximately the same words. This is a real condensed version of how you are able to reach God and he'll hear you. The Bible says that everyone that calls upon the Lord, it doesn't make any difference who you are, if you'll call out to him, he'll hear you and he'll answer you. And so all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you just call out to him with these words, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your holy, infallible word says so. Therefore, I know you have heard me, because God says he hears it. He's like the air. Every molecule is God. I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Now just lift your hands up above your head and just say wherever you are. If you're driving a car, park it, and or on your bus or whatever, and just and don't be ashamed of the Lord, because if you're ashamed of him here, he'll be ashamed of you before his Father and the holy angels in the kingdom of heaven. So just go get down on your knees and just start praising and thanking the Lord. You don't have to get down on your knees. If you're sitting in the car, just praise and thank you, Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit enter into you. The Holy Spirit is the triune God, the entire triune God. It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Christ is the completeness. He is a God Almighty, because he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are inseparable. Praise the Lord. Okay, now that you're saved, you need to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which I told you about earlier in this broadcast. And the way to do that is you just, like, you know that God wants you to have that more than you want to receive it. And he says, you shall have power to be in the ministry once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you need to read the Bible. Read the King James Version. And you'll start growing. Now, some days it may not seem as though you're getting a lot from the Word. But if you pray before you read the Bible, Lord, where do you want me to read? The Old Testament or the New? And listen for his voice. Listen for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if there's a check, you just feel a tightness when you're saying Old Testament, then how about the New Testament, Lord? And then if you start pouring out his Spirit, then you know the New Testament. That's what I do. And then I ask him, well, what part of the New Testament? In the first five books? And he'll check no. Sometimes. Sometimes he'll say yes. But if I feel a tightening in my soul, then I know, what about the 10th? From the 6th to the 10th. And I feel, yes. Okay, would it be the 6th? And he goes, no. Maybe there'll be like an anointing. Here, yeah, it's the 6th. And it's amazing. The Lord, like when I close my eyes, I see a round circle, and there's a hand that goes around clockwise if it's a yes. And then I know that something good is going to be in that chapter that he tells me. And so when I start reading it, then I get this fantastic message from it. And you will too. And sometimes you'll say, I'll say the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, no. What about Acts, Romans, where do you want me to read? And I'll keep going until I see that clock going clockwise. And I feel the Spirit anointing. And then I read and I ask him what chapter. And I go first to five. Yes, it is. Okay, is it the first? No. Second? Maybe. Third? Yes. Second and third? Oh, so maybe it's the last chapter and the first chapter. And the first, let's say, the last verse in the that chapter, the first chapter, and the first verses of chapter 2? Yes. That's where I want you. It's just amazing. And people think it's so amazing that God talks. He made our tongues, amen. He that made the tongue, he can talk very much, all right? There's no possible way that I'd be saved today if it wasn't for the Lord talking to me. And I wouldn't be able to... You see, there's more than just the Bible, because the Lord says that, you know, when we're saved and we're keeping his commandments, he'll give us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it'll give us power to minister. Well, some people say, well, if he gives you power, then how come he doesn't give you the power so that you can keep the commandments? When you receive the inward anointing, when you become saved, you have the power of God in you to keep the commandments. The only thing is you don't have the power to minister the word. You have to have the power to minister the word. Amen?
Amen.
So, that's why people... they just don't understand the Lord. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the power to minister the Word. God is now ministering in and through you. But on the other hand, if you're a novice, if you're brand new in the ministry, you're not going to be able to teach, because a person that teaches that is a novice, they fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And the devil is going to hell in the lake of fire, because you just don't know the word of God enough to teach. But you can give your testimony, and you are able to read and pray with others, and that do, and you'll be doing well. So Now we will read a little bit from an outline of the book of Luke. All right? I've already, in reading through the Bible, done the book of Matthew, Mark, and John. And now this is the outline of the book of Luke. Go ahead.
The grand picture. Luke was a physician and a historian. He presented Jesus as not only the Son of the living God, God himself, but a man also who cared for the weak, suffering, and downtrodden people, a man who brought healing to the hurting. In the genealogy of Jesus, Luke traced the Lord's human ancestors back to Adam, the father of the human race.
Right, see, because God wants everybody to know that Jesus was a human being. Even though he was begotten by the Holy Spirit and that he had God in him, he still was a human being. Now, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts, we're still human beings, but he was born with the Holy Spirit. And we become born again. We were born people, just humans. But when we become born again, we become born again of the Spirit. That means that we have the same Spirit of God living in us as as God put in Jesus. So we're brothers of Christ now, and we also become sons of God, the Bible says. All right, so just think what manner of love the Lord has towards human beings, that we can have that same Spirit that was in Christ living in us. And then also we can go on further to have the same Spirit that came down upon Jesus when he was baptized in water. It came down like in the shape of a dove and baptized him with the Holy Spirit and gave him the power to be in the ministry, that human body. So anyone that says that Jesus didn't come as a human or come in the flesh is a liar. Christ. And the reason that God wants you to know that he was a human was to encourage you and myself that if he was able to give the human being Jesus the power to never sin, that we have the same power to not sin in us as well. If God is in you, then you're capable of doing all things. Amen?
Amen.
I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so keep reading.
Luke's stories about Jesus, what they call stories, they are the truth about Jesus, focused on his relationships with individual people. Jesus paid special attention to people who were often ignored in society. Women, children, the poor, prostitutes, despised tax collectors, and sinners of every kind. Jesus offered salvation, strength, and a new spiritual life, eternal life. He promised it to everyone who will believe, and he promises to everyone in the world that he meets. But his greatest concern was for the outcasts of society. Luke stresses Jesus' humanity and compassion more than any of the other gospel writers. His narrative makes it clear that God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, reaches out in love to the unloved ones, the unlovable ones of our world. Ever since Adam and Eve's first sin in the Garden of Eden, God has compassionately desired and pursued the recovery of lost people, people who believe Satan rather than God. These people have been broken and they are lost. His love and concern to bring them back to salvation are unstoppable. As we work through the process of growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, many of us discover just how terrible and destructive our sins have been. As the levels of denial of the Lord are shattered or taken away, we begin to see how sick and lost, broken that we really were. A person may wonder whether there is any hope for humanity, but now that they are saved, they know that there is. So how could God care for us after all we have done? In reading the Gospel of Luke, we can gain much hope from the compassion that God showed toward the human race who were a lot like us. God wants to show us how much He loves us. No matter what our past sins were, He wants to have an active role in our lives. He wants it to be so active that He wants to be all the activity in our lives. He wants us to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and be crucified, and for our lives to be extinguished. This occurs after we accept Him into our heart and soul. The Holy Spirit moves forth in us, and the more of the Lord's life that enters into us, the more our lives are extinguished. The Savior's birth and preparation appears in chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 4, verse 13. 2. The Savior's ministry in word and deed appears in chapter 4, verse 14, through chapter 21, verse 38. Jesus' ministry in Galilee is chapter 4, verse 14, through chapter 9, verse 50. Jesus' ministry on the way to Jerusalem is chapter 9, verse 51, through chapter 19, verse 27. Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem is chapter 19, verse 28, through chapter 21, verse 38. The Savior's death and resurrection is found in chapter 22, verse 1, through chapter 24, verse 53. The purpose of the book is to confirm the historical record of the life of Jesus Christ, whose universal message shows salvation, great hope in living in heaven forever and escaping hell, salvation to all who turn to Him, the Word, which is Spirit and life. The author is Luke, the physician. The audience is Theophilus, whose name means, quote, lover of God, unquote. The date that Luke was written is more than likely about A.D. 60, after the death of Jesus. Key verses are, quote, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham. And I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those like him who are lost. Chapter 19, verse 9 through 10. Special features of Luke. Luke focused on Jesus' relationships with people, particularly those who were in need, and he placed special emphasis on the role of women. Key people and relationships. Jesus and his disciples, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary, Mary Magdalene, and John the Baptist. Jesus loves the outcast. Jesus paid special attention to the poor, the despised, the hurt, and the sinful. He rejected no one. He ignored no one. No one today is beyond the scope of His love or beyond His ability to save and to heal, to help people, including all of us.
With the exception of people that are just devils. Then what?
He cares for us no matter what we have done in the past.
Yeah, but he does, after we're saved, we cannot continue on doing what we did in the past, otherwise there'll be no more forgiveness for us. All right, then what?
He wants us to repent of that, however.
Okay, I see that our time is up, and we're going to continue this broadcast tomorrow, so make sure you tune in, and we'll finish the introduction here to the Book of Luke, and more than likely do chapter 1, unless the Lord changes the course and has me do another piece of literature that He did through me, in and through me. So until tomorrow, or whenever it is that you're going to hear me on the air again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo stating, don't be dry bones anymore. I pray that you said the prayer. Let the Lord lead, guide, and direct you in the Spirit. If you'd like to move into our ministry, if you really want to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, come on. If the Spirit says come on, come on. Amen.
Amen.
Again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.